Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our Sunday night service here at Calvary Baptist Church. And thank you for tuning in, and we hope others will tune in here in just a moment. And I want to say that we had a wonderful service this morning and a great choir singing. We appreciate our choir here at Calvary, our musicians, and everybody that takes part. But we mentioned some things this morning concerning the gift, and that is the gift of salvation, the gift of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And as we said this morning, we'll just say it again, that we want to take each Sunday morning in December and preach solely upon the Lord and His salvation and His aid for us as believers in our life. And we're just very thankful for Jesus and this time of year being Christmas, the Christmas season. And so we're looking forward to things this evening here in this evening service. I do want to reiterate a couple prayer requests tonight that I did this morning. And that is, let's continue to remember Miss Carla Rich and Brother Don and her diagnosis with lupus. And again, we're waiting on results from that to see what kind of lupus it is, and then we'll know further action. And so let's remember Miss Carla, Brother Don, Brother Allen, Sister Terry Clayton, and Brother Allen and his Bell's palsy. Let's remember him. Miss Lauren and Rhett Hancock. Let's remember Miss Lauren's mother, Miss Patty, as she was in the hospital this week, but she's home now. And of course, she has a follow-up or a doctor's visit this month to find out specifically what's taking place in her body. Miss Shirley Townsend, she goes back for a PET scan in about a month's time, I believe. That's what Brother James told me. Let's remember her. Jim and Don Daly in his diagnosis of being anemic. Let's remember the Teagues and Connie, Larry, and Miss Christy, but also Miss Connie's brother Bill. Let's remember him. Miss Claudia Darby with her sciatica, nerve pain. And also, let's remember Miss Dawn Capistrano. She left a prayer request on our church page, Facebook page, from last week, or this past Wednesday night, rather, and which is last week. But nonetheless, let's remember her. And again, we're praising the Lord for a successful surgery of Miss Cheryl Millwood's sister. And again, mark your calendars for the 20th of this month. And that's going to be our Christmas service and our special Christmas offering. And so remember that. We have other things taking place this month and next month, but we'll bring you things, announcements as they develop and as we make those plans. Again, church, I ask you to remember Pastor Johnny Ivey as he is in the current situation he's in with his cancer under hospice care. But listen to this, under hospice care, but he was in the pulpit preaching this morning. What a testimony. What a testimony that is. And he said he's coming back to his church to preach tonight. Let's pray for Pastor Johnny, Sister Stacy, and the family. Let's pray for Welcome Hill Baptist Church, for God to reach down and touch him and give him more time to serve the Lord and serve his people. Let's pray tonight, and then we're going to have a little bit of music, and then we'll bring the message. Father, we thank you, we love you tonight for who you are, for what you do. Lord, you are the reason for the season, and we know that. And so, therefore, Lord, we rejoice during this season. Lord, you're the light of the world. You, Lord, you're many things. But, Lord, our vocabulary fails us to really expound into words and articulate who you are. You're just good, and we're thankful for you tonight. Be with us in the music. Be with us in the message. Keep us all safe as we go into our separate homes tonight. Those of us that are here, be with those that are watching. and we'll praise you for all things. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen. Amen.
I'm going to do for you just a very a simple song, but I'm grateful that the Lord is with us each day. And I think I've done this one time before here. It's a very simple song, day by day, with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Father provides all that I need. Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly, it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. So help me then in every situation, trust your promises, O Lord, that I may lose faith's consolation offered me within your holy word. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble treating ever take as from a father's hand. One by one the days, the moments fleeting, till I reach the promised land.
Appreciate that, Brother David. And again, thank you for tuning in this evening. And church is just different these days, I tell you. I tuned in a little bit after church to, a cousin of my wife's, and that is Tara Agin, her husband, Josh Agin, and he was preaching this morning to an empty church by way of Facebook, and several churches are Facebook only right now during this, winter season with the flu and, of course, the pandemic and all. Church is just different, but we're going to keep on bringing it to you as long as the Lord lets us do so, and praise the Lord. Tonight we're going to be in Colossians chapter number 2, Colossians chapter number 2 for a few moments. And again, our thoughts this morning was around the gift, Jesus. And we're going to pick that back up, another message concerning Jesus and his birth, the cross, on next Sunday morning. But tonight, I want to look at some simple things here in Colossians chapter number 2. And just very practical things. On the surface, things that can at least point us in the right direction as far as Christian living is concerned. I do want to bow for a word of prayer, and then I want to read out of verse number 6 and 7, Colossians 2, 6 and 7, after we pray. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name one more time. And Lord, we pray that you would use us tonight block out everything out of our minds that may be hindering us, Lord, because we want to be helpful in this moment. We're not promised another moment, but this moment, Lord, I pray that you would use me greatly. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Colossians 2 and verse number 6, the Bible says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as ye have been taught." Notice this word, abounding. Abounding therein with thanksgiving. Paul, of course, is the writer here, as he is much of the New Testament epistles. But Paul had a great love for the believers at Colossae. And Paul had heard about their great love and faith that they had for each other in verse number 4 of chapter 1. Listen to this. Chapter 1, verse 4, Paul says, "Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints." How about that tonight? A group of believers, those that were in Colossae, they had such a great love, they had such a faith in Christ Jesus that the word got back to Paul. And not only Paul, but many in the surrounding areas, their great love for the Lord and faith in the Lord went out. But Paul mentions in verse number 4 of what he heard about their love and faith that they had for each other and the Lord. But Paul knew their pastor, their minister. In verse number 7, notice what he says, "As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ." And so Paul is, he's leading up to chapter number 2 in verse number 6 and 7. And he's talking about the great love they had for one another, the faith in the Lord they had, talked about their pastor Epaphras. And he mentions also that they were fellow servants together in ministry. In verse number 7, he says, "Our dear fellow servant." And so we see that Epaphras, this pastor, this minister, he was a faithful minister of Christ, the Bible says. But we get in chapter number 2, and we start to see that Paul had great conflict or concern for this church. Look in chapter 2 and verse number 1. "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh." And so some believe that Paul never even seen these believers at Colossae. That's what this verse would imply. And he had great conflict. What was the conflict? Well, it was a twofold conflict. He had concerns for this church here at Colossae, even Laodicea. And he had great concern. What were those concerns? Well, number one, he desired that they prosper. Look in verse number 2. He says, "That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." And so, number one, his concern was for their spiritual prosperity. He wanted them to prosper spiritually. And so, therefore, Paul had a concern over these believers. But not only their spiritual prosperity, or he desired for them to prosper, but he also had a concern, and he wanted them to stay protected. Look down, if you would, in verse number 4. "And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words." Verse number 8. "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. And so we see Paul's heart here. He is expressing great concern for these believers, and he wants them to prosper spiritually, but stay protected spiritually. And so now we get to our verse number 6. And notice again what Paul says. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So these verses, Paul is, he has laid out his introduction. He has bragged upon them in their great faith. He's talked about their great pastor. And now he throws out the concern for them to prosper spiritually, stay protected spiritually. And in verse number 6 and 7, he lays out the challenge of doing so. He challenges their faith, and he exhorts them in these two verses to further their relationship with Christ and reap the benefits of doing so. Now, in these two verses, it lays out the plan from start to finish of the Christian walk. From start to finish. Verse number 7 talks about the root system. It talks about the protection there, being rooted and built up in him. And this, of course, is if they're rooted, that means that they could withstand false doctrine. They could oppose all of the things that verse number 8 talks about, the philosophy and the vain deceit, the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. And so he stresses the fact that they need to continue on after salvation to get rooted and built up in the Lord so that they can oppose any error that would potentially derail them spiritually. Tonight I want to use verse number 6 and 7. Every once in a great while I always like to preach on this subject or go over these two verses specifically, because they're definitely worthy of repetition, as everything is in the Bible. But needful in our day are these two verses. So I want to preach for a few moments on this subject from start to finish. From start to finish. These verses tell us, number one, how to get saved, and then how to walk as a believer from start to finish. There is no stopping point in these verses. Paul lays these things out in verse number 6 and 7, how we start and how we continue on until we finish. Now, only the Lord knows where the finish line is at. And so, therefore, these are practicing verses that we should practice and try to better ourselves in. Again, in verse number 7, he uses that word abounding. And the word abounding means to surpass the usual, to continue, to grow, to flourish. Three truths tonight I want to mention concerning this subject from start to finish. Number one, in verse number 6, I want you to notice we see here that salvation is received. And so he does indeed talk about the starting point. Look at verse number 6. He says, as ye have therefore, key word here, received Christ Jesus the Lord. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Walk ye in him. I want you to know that, notice that receiving Christ for salvation is done in the heart by grace through faith, not in the head by a notion or mental assent. Jesus tonight is received. And this is done by the grace of God through faith in the Son. Salvation is received. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. So we see here that salvation is received. And it's receiving Christ by grace through faith into the heart. It's not a mental assent salvation in the head. In fact, I believe many in the world today, which we live in, we probably rub shoulders with those that name the name of Christ. Many there are in the world that name the name of Christ and say, I'm a Christian, I'm saved, I'm born again. But by their works, they deny him. The book of Titus deals with that. By their works, they deny him. And so many people think that getting saved is just a mental assent to God's plan. Oh, Jesus died on the cross. Oh, he was buried. Oh, he wrote. Yeah, I believe that. Well, that's not salvation received. The Bible says that even the demons tremble. Even the devils, the demons believe and tremble at the word of God. And so it's not even a mental assent, but it's actually receiving Christ into the heart. There's a gospel tract out that I like to mention from time to time. And the gospel tract just simply says, missing heaven by 18 inches. Missing heaven by 18 inches. And the idea there is that from the top of the head where the brain is at, down into the heart is around 18 inches. And you see, what a tragedy it is tonight for someone to just mentally assent, say, yes, I believe in my head what Jesus did, but never truly repented in their heart. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm going to hell except I get born again, except you as my Savior. And Lord, I turn from my evil ways and I embrace Jesus. You may not even have any pernicious evil ways tonight. Even the rich man, even the general person who goes to work every day and punches the clock but doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, repentance is still involved, though that person may not have a lot of quote-unquote evil ways. What I'm saying tonight is simply this. It is receiving Jesus as your personal Savior. Tonight, don't miss heaven by 18 inches. It's more than just saying, yes, I'm aware of the plan of salvation, but it's actually receiving, asking him to come in and be the Lord of your life. And so we see in verse number 6 that salvation is received. And I want to say that this is the reason why, one of the reasons why some can't go any deeper with Jesus. This is the reason why many, many have not grown in the Lord, probably because they've never accepted the Lord. It's just been a mental acknowledgement of who he is and never a digesting of the word of God and receiving who Jesus is as Savior. And so from start to finish, we see that this is the starting point. This is the starting point. And the starting point, in order to have a life that is rooted and built up in him, one that can stand the storms when they come and move forward in their life, the starting point is salvation received, is getting saved. Number two, not only do we see salvation is received, that's the first truth in these verses, but then we see an obligation that must be believed. Look in verse number 6 again. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Walk ye in him. I say this is an obligation that must be believed. In other words, we are obligated to walk with Christ after salvation. We have an obligation. With this obligation, sure, comes desire to live for Jesus. But here he tells us that if we have received Christ as Savior, there has to be a walk with him. Salvation is just the getting on point. It's just the getting on point, so to speak, of the train. We get on the train of salvation, but then we go for the ride. There is a walk, a relationship that's here. We must take time to get acquainted with Jesus. Let me say it this way. When I first met Christy, I had a general idea of who she was, and she had a general idea of who I was. But then we went on a couple walks together, Silver Comet Trail, when it was safe. Went on a couple dinner dates together. And what we realized was, over time, we were beginning to get acquainted with one another. We got to learn about one another. And 10 months later, after we met, we got married. And church, I want to say that that was, what, right at 16 years ago. But you know, the thing about it is, tonight, somebody could come up to me and say or ask, Brother Justin, do you think Miss Christy would be okay with this or that? And I don't even have to ask her. I could tell you what she's for and what she's not for. And vice versa, somebody were to go up to her, hey, Miss Christy, do you think Brother Justin would be okay with this? And she would say what she has in the past. I know him well enough to know that he definitely would be okay with that. You see, that's because we have got acquainted through the years. And the same with our relationship with Jesus. Yes, we embrace him in our heart. By grace through faith, we are born again. We have received him. But then we start to walk with him. And over time, we get acquainted with him. And we learn what works. What doesn't work. There's times, and listen, we ought to pray about things. We're Christians. We ought to pray. But there are situations in life that arise where I already know, Brother David, I already know how God feels about that. And I don't want to sound bad when I say this, but I just don't have to pray about those things. The same way I grow to learn Christy what she's for or not for, same for me to her, is the same way is the goal in the relationship with Jesus. We get saved, we receive him, but then we start to walk with him. And we learn what he's for, what he's not for. Of course, we always pray about all things everywhere at all times, remaining our minds in an atmosphere, an attitude of prayer. But what I'm saying is, the deeper your relationship gets, the more you know what his answer is whenever you come to an intersection in your life. So he says, so walk ye in him. This is an obligation that must be believed. We must absolutely have a walk with him. Salvation is a starting point, but then begins the journey. To experience tonight joy and contentment and a sense of fulfillment, a purpose in our journey, on our journey, we must walk in him. Walk in him. The question is tonight, what specifically does it mean to walk in him? As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. What does that mean? I believe we can condense it down to this idea. It means to stay connected to him. It means to continue in him. It means to abide in him. Let me just say this, just in case somebody's thinking it. Positionally, as a child of God, we're always connected to him. We're always connected, but then our communion is not always intact. There's times where our communion and fellowship with the Lord is not there. And so that can be broken. Our connection to him cannot because of position, but our communion can. And so therefore we have to abide in him, not be perfect. He's our perfection. That's how we go to heaven, is when God the Father looks upon us, he sees God the Son. Come on in. But it's now here on planet Earth where we are walking with him. It's our goal to be like Jesus. It's our goal to love our neighbor. It's our goal to forgive. It's our goal to read our Bible every day and pray. That's our goal. And as we are moving toward our goals, we are walking in him. And again, I like to use the word abide. The word abide is mentioned several times in John chapter number 15. Turn to John chapter number 15, if you would, for a moment, and listen to this. Listen to this. In John chapter number 15, in verse number 4, he talks about abiding, walking in him. And their abiding, number one, produces fruit. In verse number 4, notice, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. And so let's look at the fruit in the vine, the branch in the vine idea. Here we have, let's just say, a tree. We have a tree growing. It has all these branches. And on those branches are what? Fruit. But you know, something funny happens when it gets to be fall time and winter time. What we see is we see that all of the leaves turn brown, fall off. The fruit falls off most of the time. And what is that? It's because the sap during the spring and summer is in the tree, the branches, and it produces fruit. But it extracts to a certain extent. That's why the green leaves turn brown and they fall off in the fall time, in the winter time. But then in the springtime, when that vine and that sap gets to moving afresh and anew through that tree and through the branches, these nice, beautiful apples and pears and all the other kind of fruit, and that which once was leaves and all of those, it's bright green now. It's because of the sap that's in that tree. And I want to say tonight that the same idea is with us as believers. We need to stay connected to the vine. Now, we are positionally, but when it comes to practical Christianity, if we miss a Bible reading, it hurts. If we miss a church service, it hurts. If we miss a prayer time, it hurts. But when we do our very best to stay plugged in practically to that vine each and every day, I'll tell you what happens. That sap starts to move. That sap starts to flow. And once where there was discouragement, there's now victory. And once where there was depression, there's now gladness. And once where there was despair, there's hope again. Why is that? Because you are staying connected to that vine. Our good friend, Pastor Johnny, in the pulpit preaching tonight. He was in the pulpit this morning preaching. Why is that? How could that be? A man in hospice care, but yet at the behind the pulpit preaching God's word. I'll tell you how that is. Because he has been connected to the vine. I've never met such a disciplined Christian in my life than Brother Johnny is. I'm talking about, I have heard for one specific neighbor of his, where he would go outside, this particular neighbor, and say, I heard Brother Johnny praying this morning. I heard Brother Johnny praying tonight. What is that? That's Brother Johnny knowing that he has to draw from something in order to be a dad, to be a pastor, to be a husband, just to be a Christian and live a life in victory. He has to know. He needs that. Listen, tonight, we need that. We have to draw from something. All of the substances and the things of this world, we are not going to be able to draw our strength from. Oh, for a moment, we can draw our strength from a TV show. Oh, for a moment, we can draw our strength from some kind of substance. Oh, for a moment, we can get some kind of temporary happiness out of some kind of fleshly fulfillment, going to the mall and spending money on a new outfit, something like that, temporary. But when the storms of life come and they rattle you to the core, What is it that's going to sustain you? Not that new outfit, not that TV show, but staying connected to Jesus is what's going to sustain you. When the winds blow and the rains come like the two foundations, the one who pinched his tent in the sand is blown away. But the one who has built his house on that solid foundation is the one who's going to withstand the storm. Church, the call tonight is to walk ye in him. Listen, I know the time we're living in, it has been a universal death wish upon our world. I don't even want to say it like that, but it seems like it's that way. It has come from Satan. I say Satan himself. God ultimately is in control. I understand all of that. But everybody has been going through it. I told my wife this afternoon, I told Christy this afternoon, I said, man, we have really, really lost some people this year. Sent a lot of them home. I'm not even going to begin naming folks, but long-time friends of ours, relatives, and it goes on and on. And so listen, we all are hurting to some degree with what our world's going through and the attack upon our faith as Christians. But church, we have to stay plugged in. That is the battle plan, is to stay connected, walk in him. And we see that we're able to produce fruit in verse number 4. In verse number 5, he tells us if we abide, if we walk in him, he enables us to achieve. Verse 5, and he says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Listen to this. For without me, ye can do nothing. And that leads me to say this. How often we take things for granted. Me. Without the Lord, that wouldn't be beating anymore. If you just take a second and think about the human heart, just like that, it can stop. But he keeps it operating. Getting up in the morning, making that first cup of coffee, getting up in the morning and eating your breakfast, grabbing the car keys and going to work, all of those things, coming home and enjoying that favorite TV show, stretching out on the couch or in the recliner, eating a nice dinner and having a loving family. All of those things we can take for granted tonight. And I'm sure we're all, to a degree, guilty of this. But he tells us that for without him, we can do nothing. And so what I say tonight is just be thankful for everything that he has allowed us to do. And from this time forward, from this day forward, acknowledge him the much more. Abound in the area of our Bible reading. Abound in the area of our Bible hearing. Miss Claudia, that was for you. And abound in these areas. And when we abound in these areas, and we're grateful for the simple fact that the Lord enables us to achieve, I believe it'll do us well. And it will strengthen our relationship with the Lord. Let me move on. Abiding creates power in prayer. Look at verse number 7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Abiding creates power in prayer. How about that? When we spend time with him, our desires change. And we end up asking for the very things that Christ wants to give us. What about that? In verse number 11, abiding brings joy. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. And so we see here that our joy can fluctuate. At least in the text that is given us in this context here, our joy can fluctuate. He says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. The Old Testament tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so we see these things. I'm trying to say tonight, church, from start to finish, there is an obligation to walk with Him. From start to finish, there is a salvation that must be received. That's the starting point, by grace through faith. And then this obligation that must be believed, walk ye in Him. And then lastly tonight, there's an operation that is achieved. Notice if you would, back in Colossians 2. Colossians 2 and verse number 7. And so we see that salvation is received, verse number 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, we see the obligation that must be believed, so walk ye in Him. Then verse number 7, an operation that is achieved. He says, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. What does that mean tonight? Well, this is the whole operation he's talking about. He says you get on here at salvation, and then you start to get acquainted with the Lord. And as you do that, you learn the Lord's mindset. You can have the mind of Christ. You learn His heart, what He's for, what He's not for. You're abiding in Him. You're reading your Bible. You're praying. You're abounding. You're moving forward. And then over time, you get rooted. You get rooted. Listen to this. In Jeremiah 17, this has become one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Jeremiah 17, it's verse 8, but listen to 7 and 8. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. Here it is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, rooted, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Wow, what a verse tonight. What a verse. Because Jeremiah is telling us that if we get rooted in Him, it doesn't matter what the spiritual atmosphere is in our world. We're not going to be moved. Like the old hymn says, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved like a tree that's planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. That's true tonight. Listen, dig in and get rooted. Jeremiah says it doesn't matter what the heat is, the spiritual climate. He says you won't wither. Your leaf will stay green. And you'll continue to spread your roots. But we see here in verse number 7, the operation that is achieved. We get to a place where we're rooted and built up in Him. The word rooted, it means to become stable. Become stable. I remember, well, the years we go down to Florida, we try to every year. But I can remember the past 2 years going down the highway and seeing all these trees that are, I mean, they're curved. There were several large, like 2 or 3 mile spans of trees. I don't know what kind of trees they were, but they were curved over, all of them. And I got to thinking about it, and I know why they're curved. It's because of all the hurricanes and the storms that would come through there. They would blow and blow and blow. But they wouldn't break, some of them, but not all of them. They wouldn't be uprooted. They wouldn't be uprooted because they had deep roots. And I think this is the point Paul is stressing here. He tells us that getting saved is great. We got to get saved to go to heaven. But God has a plan while we're here. And He tells us to walk in Him. And when we do that over time, we get rooted in Him. We become stable. I remember when I first got saved and I started out going to church and working a regular job. you know, somebody will say something to me and I just get so mad, so worked up. I haven't totally achieved that characteristic of not getting mad and upset and angry at certain things, but I will say this. There were some things that used to bother me then that people would say, or circumstances in life that don't bother me now. You want to know why that is? It's because I have been doing my best, not perfected by no means, but I'm trying to go after that, apprehend that. I've been trying to, and the Lord has allowed us to get a root system going. A root system. One way to know you're abounding in your faith is how much you can take in the storm. Now listen, there are big storms in life. There are just messy days we encounter in life that can break us. But the more that we grow, the more that we read of the Bible and become familiar with His Word, His plans, how He operates and does things, His promises, the more we start to turn to His Word for safety. And what we'll find is through life, the longer we serve the Lord and do this, and the longer we move forward and try to accomplish this, the more storms we could withstand. Like those trees in Florida, we'll still be. We may be swayed. We may be bent. We may look like we're not hitting on all cylinders, but we're still rooted. And so he tells us here, rooted and built up in Him. And the word built up, those two words built up, it means to rear up. And so while the root system is the foundational things, the building up is the actual structure. It's the structure. He tells us the operation that is achieved is that we get rooted and become stable. Is that we abound in the faith. We're able to withstand some storms in life. I'm not talking about being Superman and, you know, that kind of mentality. Listen, we're humans. We're frail. We're going to cry. We're going to get hurt. But the idea is to stay strong in the Lord. The idea is to, as Paul said, not be moved, but keep progressing onward is the idea. Rooted and built up in Him. And so we see through this verse in verse number 7, there's the foundation, rooted. There's the structure and built up. What is that? That is a life that is standing for Jesus. It's a spiritual house, so to speak, being built upon the foundation of the Lord for the Lord Jesus Christ. The operation that is achieved, the obligation that is believed, and again, as we started, salvation that is received. The message tonight is simply this: from start to finish, these are our verses. We must walk in Him and get rooted, because the storms are here and the storms are coming, but we can have victory in Jesus. But it's all dependent upon our walk with Him and how strong our relationship is with Him. Father, we thank You. We love You tonight. We praise You for who You are and for what You do. I pray if someone needs to pray tonight, I'll pray for their prayer. If they need to pray tonight, let them pray. Have Your will in Your way. In Jesus' name, amen.